Shalom Aleichem, everyone. This is Shlomo Katz. You're listening to The Soul of Israel on the Land of Israel Network, on thelandofisrael.com. It's been a while. It's been a long while. And I'm back together with my two soul brothers, Rabbi Ari Abramowitz and Rabbi Jeremy Gimpel. Shalom Aleichem, everyone.
Hey. Shalom, Shlomo. Serious withdrawal on my part.
On my part as well. Yeah. On my part as well. It's been ages. I want to apologize to all our precious, dedicated, and committed listeners, and to all our friends all over the world. Been a lot of traveling. Thank God, got to see a lot. I actually got to meet many of you on the roads, in different cities, different countries. But most importantly, since the last time we were together, by the grace, by the mercy, and the beautiful gift of God, we welcomed our fourth girl, our fourth daughter, 2 weeks ago, to the world.
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov. We have four girls, and we named her last Shabbos, and her name is Liba Tehora.
Wow. Liba, could you translate that? Give a little bit of the
sure.
explanation.
Liba Tehora literally means a pure heart. A Liba Tehora, a Lev Tehora, a heart that's pure. So just starting off today's session by sending blessings.
Now, did you have that planned ahead of time? Did you know, or did you like look at her and you and your wife looked at her and said, that's just who she is?
According to our tradition, naming your child is prophecy. When you name your child, that name you choose for your child is actually prophecy. There's a story that someone once came to the Kotzker Rebbe and said to him, Rebbe, I have such a big dilemma. I don't know what to do. The Rebbe said, well, how could I help you? He said, well, my wife and I had a baby boy last week, and the circumcision is going to be tomorrow, and we need you to tell us what to name him because we just don't know. And the Rebbe says, what a fool. Once in your lifetime, God gives you prophecy, and even that you want to get rid of? Mm-hmm. Naming this baby Liba Tehora, I'll be honest, there's always a little bit of anxiety as to what the name is because you kind of set your child up for life on their life mission when you give them their name, because we always know that we're supposed to kind of emulate our name, figure out how to fix what we're supposed to be doing in this world based on our name. My name is Shlomo. So a lot of different explanations that one of them means to be shalem with Hashem, to be really complete with God, to accept everything God gave you. So before you do the actual naming, it's very, very intense. But once the name was given, it was like this with our other children as well, it was crystal clear. There were no questions. It's like, of course that's her name. So the house is, like I told you before, as pink as it was before. Bright pink, bright beautiful.
Mazel tov. We're very, very happy for you and grateful as well.
Thank you so much. And I give us all a bracha that our children should grow up being best friends, and together they should witness the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu speedily in our days with our days.
Amen. Amen.
Please, God. Speaking of names, that's exactly where we're at in the Torah portion of this week, that we get named. We get named this Shabbos, this portion. We get named from Jacob to, he receives the name Israel, Yisrael. These kind of parshas, these kind of portions of the week, there's so much that's in my heart. There's so much I want to share, and we don't have that much time. But the fight, which is described in great length in our parsha, in great length by the Mefarshim, by the commentators, the struggle between Jacob, right before he receives the name Israel, Yisrael, the fight between Yaakov and Saro Shel Esav, Esav's angel, always struck a chord with me. It really always, it's not just one of the parshiyot that I just, I know this story, let's move on. It always made me stop and think and breathe for a second, saying, what does this have to do with me today, this fight, this struggle, this war that we read about in the beginning of our portion of the week? Well, many of the commentators explain that this struggle that took place between Esav's angel and his brother Yaakov is a fight that's still going on till today. And how do we know this? Because it says, Vayeavek ish imo ad alot hashachar, that the struggle took place between this angel and Yaakov until dawn. Our sages explain that dawn means until Mashiach comes, ad alot hashachar, until the great morning comes, where the whole world will sing one song. There's going to be a struggle between Yaakov and Esau's angel. And we all know that this struggle in our own lives, Esav is the character of Esav. What do you guys think when I say the word Esav? What comes to mind?
Donald Trump.
Thank you.
Sort of, he's red hair, very impulsive, grabs what he wants. He's sort of that sort of brutish, uncouth, Philistine-esque.
Once again, you leave me at a loss. For
what comes
for
to your words. Mind?
Asav. I would think more like Raleigh Fingers or Kolya Stramski, if you know who they were. They played for
Raleigh
Brewers.
Fingers?
Yeah.
A jazz musician.
No. Raleigh Fingers played for the Brewers in the 70s. Different sport. I don't know. It's like different beastly characters. You're right. Donald Trump, to some, might seem like a beastly character. In my opinion, he's just another pawn.
No, I'm not saying he's beastly, just there's a certain element of his personality.
Is.
I'm not trying to, it wasn't a political statement.
Okay, good, because we stay away, because in this segment, we stay away from politics, right? Rabbi Gimpel, Esav.
Yeah, I used to look at Esav as just like the manifestation of everything wrong in the Western world. Just everything of like, you know, fast food, unhealthy, immediate gratification, no thought of anything larger than themselves. I want the soup now. Just forget about children. Forget about the birthright. Just let me live detached from reality because I want to have fun now. Western world, that is Asap.
No. Instant,
like
absolutely.
Now. But lately, I don't know. I feel like there's something about Asap that is more beautiful, more subtle. That I feel like he sometimes tries to do the right thing, but somehow just gets it wrong. Mm. Like he marries the wrong person, but then he tries to marry Yishmael's descendant. Like there's something about him that he's, I don't think he's an evil man. I used to think Esav is just evil. I don't think he's evil. I think there's something more subtle that needs to be discovered still. And the fact that he's a brother is meaningful because even though like the greatest enemy of Yaakov who was threatening to kill him, ultimately he's an ach. He's a brother that hopefully has a chance of rejoining the family.
Chazak me'od. The Kotzker Rebbe actually said that if you had to imagine what Esav looked like, you would think that based on the way the Torah describes him, beastly now kind of man, hairy, red, sweaty.
Like the supporting actor in Braveheart, you know, that swung that big thing. That big dude is a little bit Esav.
I love it when you bring Mel Gibson into our segments. He's doing tshuva, I think, by the way, but that's for another segment. Esav, the Kotzker Rebbe said, if you saw him, he'd look like someone that was wearing a kapata and a shtraimel. You know, in our imagery, we have this concept of like that holy people look like this and unholy people look like this. But we've seen time and time again, al tistakel ba kankan ela ma sheyesh. But we've seen so often the way that our sages have said this: do not look at the, how do you say, kankan?
Don't judge a book by its cover.
In a very, very strong term, as much as that's like a nice saying, that's actually like a really, really, really important saying for today, because Esav looked like the holiest thing in the world. He truly did. And he appeared over here in the form of an angel. So Reb Shlomo Karlach used to ask the following question. It's one thing to fight evil when it looks like evil. Not such a big deal. It's not so hard either. I see evil. I detect it. I say this is wrong. I'll fight it. The real tests in life is, can you fight angels that seem to you like they're holy, but their messages to you mess you up in your mind and try to convince you otherwise? Meaning, Esav's whole claim to Yaakov was that you could keep on being a frum yid, you could keep on learning Torah, be a Jewish advocate, do all those right things, but really, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day because you never perfected yourself. You're still showing up every morning with the same struggles. And Yaakov's whole fight in this world is to show that your avoda, your godly service matters. Your little mitzvahs matter. We learn this from the fact that he went back the night before this whole altercation happened to go and bring back pachim ktanim, to go and bring back these little utensils, these little vessels. Why does Rashi have to tell us that that's what he went back for to get? Because he wants to show us that every single thing matters. The little things matter. The tiniest pieces of Kedusha, of holiness in your life, they matter. But when you think that only the big picture matters, you lose sight of what it means to have your focus. Now, at the risk of sounding a tad political, but I don't want to call this political because I think it's an atrocity when we refer to problems in the Holy Land as political problems, Amona is about, I don't know, how large is it?
We have 40 families, 200 kids.
Amona is the Pachim Ketanim. Amona are those small things where you could say, in the bigger picture, this will benefit everyone, it'll work. In the bigger picture, to kind of just say the small things don't really matter because we're looking at a bigger picture, and that's what we're told, and we're told that all the time. However, we're up against a tremendous test right now to see how much do the Pachim Ketanim really matter. Esav comes and tells you, in the name of holiness, don't worry about those things. Just be yourself. God wants you to be real. And the real you can't stand to be too much in holiness. Because let's face it, we have desires. We have lusts. Yaakov comes to tell you, are you kidding me? The real tests come regarding the really tiny, small things. How much do they mean? How much do they mean to us? When the angel sees that Yaakov Avinu is so clear that the smallest, tiny piece of holiness is just as important as the big deals, he says to him, "Ki sarita im Elokim vatochal." You have wrestled with the biggest struggle in life, and you can, meaning you're able to live in a real way with the importance that you place on all the small things in life. And at that moment, right after that war, he becomes Israel. Now, as much as we're B'nai Yisrael, we sure ain't acting like B'nai Yisrael like we can be on a national level. And it's time that we live up to our names. Like we began this segment talking about names and setting our life's mission and how we're going to go out into the world and do things in the world based on our name. We already got a name. We got a name in this parsha, in the beginning of this portion, by the angel of Esav, that was really just coming as a pawn to do his messenger, to do his shlichut, to force us to realize what's important to you and what's not important to you. The small things, the little things, the 40 families. The 40 families, and one of these families is a very, very close friend of the three of us here. The 40 families that are up there and their children, yes. It's just another little pach katan. It's a little utensil, but Yaakov Avinu would go the night before to save that place and then fight with the angel of Esav. But that's how we receive our names, and that's how we become who we really are. And God keeps on putting us at the test. Time and time again, he's saying, I'm giving you another opportunity to live up to your name. I'm giving you another opportunity to live up to your name. It's time that we lived up to our names. Do you think we're getting closer?
I feel like we are. As the Jewish people in the land of Israel, I feel like we are becoming Yisrael. I feel like on my journey in life, I'm connecting more with different, deeper facets of my own name. What about you, Darren?
Well, I think it's also important to recognize what all of these things are, that they're constant tests. They're constantly putting us up to the challenge. And I like the beautiful way of saying it. Are you living up to your name? And the name of Israel is to struggle with God, to struggle with man. And it's in that struggle that either we live up to our name or we don't. And every challenge that we face individually, every challenge we face nationally, we're put up to this like epic biblical challenge of, are we going to be Israel, or are we going to kind of fall short and not really transform from Jacob into Israel? And now it's like this transition period, maybe on our personal lives, maybe on our national level, maybe those are very intertwined. But I think that the struggles here are coming to define our character, our integrity, and do we have the integrity to care about the little pachim that we leave behind?
And the struggles happen here. They can only happen here, meaning becoming your name happens in the land of your name, Eretz Yisrael. And obviously I'm coming off of many trips abroad, and I was just in Cambridge in England, and in Toronto and Chicago and Florida and New York, and I'm meeting the most precious people in the world that want more. They want more. And I don't know, I don't have any other way of saying other than just like the obvious, the place where you want more is where you struggle the most. And that's here. And it's in front of us right now. Like you said, I'm so happy you said it. Biblical tests are being presented on our doorstep every single day. It's only to make us who we are. It's not to break us. It's not to convince us otherwise. It's a chance to embrace that which seems so difficult. I have a very close friend in Los Angeles who, he takes certain words that we use and that they trigger certain emotions in us, and he changes its meaning. There's a word that many of us try to run from. It's called hard. Hard, difficult, very, very hard. And my friend told me that if you substitute that word, the word hard, with the word worthwhile, your whole life is different. Let's go with that for 1 second. Is it hard being here? Is it hard figuring out a way that we could truly be proud Jews living up to our name in the land of Israel? Whoever tells you it's easy, I'm sorry, run away from them. It's not about being easy. Is it hard? Yes. Is it worthwhile? That's like asking you, is it worthwhile keeping your heart? Is it worthwhile to still have all your limbs intact? Yes, it's worthwhile. Is it hard to make it through this world? Yes. Jacob Was it hard that night? Was it hard fighting with the angel of Esau? It was very hard. Was it hard to go back and get those small utensils that night before? Was it hard? It was very hard to do that and then suffer the consequences. Was it worthwhile? I got my name. We're sitting here thousands of years after that interaction happened because someone said all the hard things in life, they're all worthwhile. So I don't know, guys. I think that we got to up the game. We got to up the spiritual game. We got to really up this game. We have to spread a consciousness to the world that sheds light and gives each other, infuses people with strength to say all those moments in life where the world tells you those little things that don't really matter, it might be hard to hold on to them, but give out. Is it worthwhile? Esav comes and tells you, your little tefillas, your little tzitzis you put on, the blessing you say over food, the shalom aleichem you greet someone with, the little piece of land you're fighting over, think about the big picture. It's not so important. Yaakov says, are you kidding me? This is what makes me who I am. It's not that you struggle with the big things, you struggle to bring meaning into all the small places as well. So I believe, from the bottom of my heart, that right now we are in a epic moment in Jewish history and Jewish future, that we see leaders that we've elected that, so to speak, represent our, you know, our ideals and our Torah values are basically saying to us, listen, don't look to us anymore. We're stuck trying to worry about the big things. It's you individuals to make sure, we're counting on you guys to show the world how important it is to stress the little things.
So beautiful. Folks, that's Rabbi Shlomo Katz, Aria Bramowitz. I'm Jeremy Gimpel. This is the Soul of Israel on the Land of Israel Network. Thank you for tuning in. It is so good to have Shlomo back on the airwaves again. Shlomo, thank you.
It feels great to come back home, and I can't wait for the next time.
The best place to stay in Jerusalem is at Windows of Jerusalem Vacation Apartments. Check out their website, www.windowsofjerusalem.com. They've got beautiful 1, 2, 3, 4 bedroom apartments in the best location in the city center with the most beautiful, breathtaking views. And I mean breathtaking. I've stayed there a number of times myself. And I'm telling you, there are few places anywhere in the city where you can take it all in to this degree. The view, the location, the great apartments, plus the wonderful staff will truly make you feel at home in Jerusalem. Book your stay now at windowsofjerusalem.com.
This is Eve Harrow, host of Rejuvenation on the Land of Israel Network. My maternal grandparents, Grandpa Morris and Grandma Lily, came to the United States from Russia over 100 years ago. They belonged to the Mizrahi movement way before there was even a state of Israel. The Land of Israel Network is powered by the Mizrahi World Movement.
Hey folks, this is Jeremy Gimpel. I want you to know, if you are a non-Jew from a Christian background or just a full-fledged Christian and you want to come to Israel, the best program, tour, experience that you could possibly have is to go with Hayovel. Now it's weird, I'm an Orthodox Jewish rabbi and I'm telling Christians to go to this Christian ministry in the middle of Samaria. Let me tell you, there is no better experience for someone outside of the land, outside of the Jewish fold, to come into the land and work alongside the Jewish farmers of Samaria, to learn about the culture, to meet the people. It's an experience like no other, and I think it's also probably the cheapest way to travel to Israel. So go to hayovel.com.